The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
Welcome. We've made it to Friday. Great to have you all aboard. Thanks to Ryan for hanging out here yesterday. We are all back ready to roll today, taking you into the weekend. Let's get started with some headlines. Trayvon Walker, Georgia. He is riding up the board. We're exactly a week away from the draft. Some boards have him as high as two, maybe number one. Meanwhile, we got a couple of scrimmages tomorrow. LSU has one. And what about the Grove Bowl quarterback battle? Portal King Lane Kiffin fired up. And so are we. And just when you thought it was safe to study the rule book, there are some new rules.
No more flopping.
No more new changes to targeting rule, faking injuries. You can appeal your targeting. You appeal that to the Supreme Court. You can report fake injuries. Now, whether anything will happen or not, we don't know. Linemen may block below the waist, inside tackle box. What will that mean?
I have no idea.
They'll have the foggiest.
That's clear as mud.
Anyway, we appreciate you being here on a Friday. Trevor Sickema will join us shortly, getting you ready for the draft. Nick Suss from the Clarion Ledger. Spencer Hall from TOL. Remember Tom McMillan, the great player, Maryland? He was on that team that got robbed the gold medal, 1972. We'll talk to him about the current state of college athletics a little bit later on. And your phone calls at 855-242-7285. John starts it off for us. Hello, John.
Hey, welcome back, Paul. Anytime you're gone, we get a deeper appreciation of you and the show.
Oh, thank you. Just a quick trip, and I'm back, and all is good.
Well, Marty and your team did a great job yesterday. I've got three quick questions. First is your show going on the road for the NFL draft?
Yes. Thursday and Friday, we will be in Las Vegas.
Well, I have a brother there if you want to get in trouble.
I do. I do have a brother. you have a brother. I want to get in trouble. Just hook us up.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that, I have another brother, a twin, who flew for the Marine Corps, and he would go to tailhook conventions every year. So he'd have better stories.
I do remember those.
Yeah. You mentioned last week or earlier this week that before the Archbishop could come onto your show, the Vatican had to vet the show. And I'm thinking, well, wait a minute, did they send him a demo tape without the callers? But if the callers were on, I would think the compliance office would say, no, there's too many sinners, there's too many heathens. How did you get away with them vetting your show?
I'm trying to remember what we did. I'm sure we sent them like an interview with Nick Saban or something. I don't think we sent them any of the calls.
Yeah, no doubt. And the guest you had on the other day, Stuart Mandel, mentioned that with these NIL contracts that they couldn't keep a player at a certain school. And I can't fathom that, say, the Texan A&M boosters who, you know, poured millions into the collective would let a player sign and then, you know, well, I'll go play for Nick Saban next year. What do you think?
That is going to be one of the issues, I think. And I don't know if you can contain that, John. I'm not really certain that these contracts are going to be binding because there's only so much you can put in the writing before you start to veer over the so-called red line of the NCAA.
Well, Jimbo could be in for some big surprises. And finally, I was going to endorse a couple of ESPN articles The one on the legacy of Joe Paterno, and the one about Hutchinson, the University of Michigan player. Both compelling in different reasons, but both very well written.
Yeah, I haven't read the Hutchinson, but the Paterno, the Penn State article is just downright chilling. Hey, thank you very, very much for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check out Rick, who is up next. Hey, Rick.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
You talk to the bozos at PTI very often?
I know of the two, I know Kornheiser much better.
Well, they really trashed Birmingham and the USFL.
Oh, is that the one they did last Friday night?
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard about that. Yeah, for those who missed it, they were talking the debut of the USFL, and I think it was Wilbon who said, can you believe all these games are in Birmingham? And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't he say something like, what is this, the Paul Feinbaum League or something?
Right.
By the way, I don't know how to break this to Wilbon and Kornheiser. I haven't lived in Birmingham in 9 years. Although I was there last night.
Well, oh, good. Welcome to town.
It was great. It was tough to leave. Well, thank you very much, Rick. I heard that, and from what I could tell, based on talk, I was only in Birmingham briefly, but the USFL seems to be off to a really good start. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check out Matt, who is up next.
Hey, Berger, I missed you on the show yesterday, man. You would make the show really great. You might see your brother and you, Paul. I kind of missed you yesterday, man.
Well, thank you, Matt. I appreciate that.
You're right. Well, I want to talk to you about this whole thing about Lane Kiffin. Everybody said he has a better shot at beating Alabama last year. Paul, what was the score last year between Ole Miss and Alabama, Paul?
It was about a four-touchdown game.
So what makes people think he can have a chance to beat him when the only two coaches in the SEC is Kirby and Jimbo that actually beat him? Paul, I want your thoughts on that as well.
Yeah, I'm with you, Matt. I haven't seen anything from Ole Miss that would convince me that those two programs are particularly close together right now. I mean, they did play a close game in 2020, but...
I remember that game in 2020.
That was one.
I got one question for you, brother. If you had to pick a team in the SEC West this year or East that can challenge Alabama, who would it be?
Arkansas.
And what about in the East?
Beyond Georgia, you mean?
Yeah, beyond Georgia.
I'm still working on that.
Well, brother, it was good talking to you, man, and I hope I see you in conversation.
Yeah, I hope so. I can't wait to get out there. Hey, thank you very much. Appreciate the call. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. George is up next. Hey, George.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
Let me turn the TV down.
Sure. That's my man right there.
Yes, sir. Have a question, Ball. Why do you have such a dislike of Clemson?
I don't.
Do you remember 305 reasons to dislike Clemson, to hate Clemson? You wrote an article in the late 90s about that.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. That was actually 1996. Did you ever bother to check and see if there were any other books other than I Hate Clemson?
Not really, but that's a pretty good reason.
I mean, George, with all due respect to what I'm about to say, only a paranoid Clemson fan would see a book about Clemson and think they were the only people. I happen to have a series of books about 25 years ago that they called I Hate. First two were Auburn and Alabama. The next two were Florida and Florida State. And in all, there were 56 different books written, including Clemson. So get the chip off your shoulder and give me a call back in the morning. Jim is up next in Tuscaloosa.
You know, Paul, you know I know all your shifty moves inside baseball, right? And I, first of all, I'll say that John, Kentucky John, was right about yesterday's show. But, you know, here's what I want to explain to John and the rest of the audience. Because you know I know you get the worst goober you can get to replace you so that when you do
not
come
true.
Back, even the haters will say, we love Paul. He's better than anybody in America. And that's what happened yesterday.
First of all, Jim, that's the first show I've missed this year.
That's the biggest goober you could possibly get on the show ever. And I mean,
I disagree. I happen to have heard really good things about Ryan Magoo.
And there were some sycophant idiots if they said anything good about him.
Well, Randy,
He had Dada on for 30 minutes. Good night. What's going on with this? I never seen anything so weak. Silly women would like that. A silly Pat would love that idiotic stuff.
I've had two different people tell me today since I got back that the show was really
good.
Yeah,
I'd like to. I wouldn't want to know who they were.
Well, one of them's Randy, who I'm looking at right here.
Oh yeah, company man, Paul. That's
company
he man. Just talk when you get right. Got somebody like the Goober on.
Well, Jim, when I miss another show in the
just
future,
making a point, Paul. Just making a sapient point.
Is there
a, you
is
know
there
the
someone?
Truth.
Jim, is there someone you would like to see here?
Well, you know, I'm not really that I can think of, but
okay.
Peter Burns is a lot better than the. What, could you not get anybody else? I am serious. Could you not get anybody else? I mean, was not the monkey from Montgomery available?
We tried. He was too expensive. He was asking for
Well, he's got his contract with the Crypt man. He's the Tales of the Crypt. You know, he can't get out of that contract because he's a solid Crypt master.
Well, Jim, are you available next time
Paul,
I'm out here?
Come on, give it. Paul, come on. I just read my your comment about me in the book. By the way, did you see that idiot put his book in front of your book at the end of the show? I'm going to look in the shelf and see.
By the way, check and see if it's still there.
Well, it's behind you, Paul, not me. It's on the shelf.
I don't know why you don't like McGee. I think he's a perfectly nice guy.
Oh, he's a goofball. He's the biggest goober I've ever heard. I am not kidding you. I have never seen anybody that bad on the radio. Never, ever, never, Paul. And you know I've got sapience.
Yeah, I do know that, Jim. Well, I am sorry to hear that because I was going to ask him to fill in again soon, but apparently not. Thanks, Jim. We're up against a break. We have a lot to do here on this Friday afternoon. Trevor Sickleman is up next.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
So, recent years, the number one pick has not always, but occasionally come from the SEC, Burrow being the last. Myles Garrett, Clowney, Cam, Stafford. Remember Jamarcus Russell? Mm-hmm. Has there ever been a worse number one pick than that?
No.
Eli Manning. Trevor Sickleman joins us to talk about, you know, what is going on at the number one position. Trevor, thanks for the time. It's always good to talk about the draft as we get closer. Give us the backstory from what you can tell on what the debate is in terms of who is going number one.
Yeah, as early as this morning, we saw Trent Baalke, the general manager of the Jacksonville Jaguars, say that it's down to four names. And we haven't had that situation in a really long time. Normally, we already know what the first name is going to be out of Roger Goodell's mouth. Sometimes we even know the first few. And this year, we don't know. I don't even know if the Jacksonville Jaguars know at this point. They said they've narrowed it down to four, but I think it's probably a two-man race at this point. I think it's going to come down to Trayvon Walker from the University of Georgia and then Aiden Hutchinson from Michigan. It's going to be a pass rusher. I think that that's an area where they have a massive need. fixed along their offensive line earlier. So I think you can eliminate a couple of the offensive tackles there. And really the big debate is just, are you going to swing for the fences with the ceiling of Trayvon Walker, or do you want more of a sure thing with Aiden Hutchinson? Because we've seen it with Hutchinson for the last couple of years. He has gotten better and better as a player. We saw this past year. It was good enough to be even invited to the Heisman Trophy ceremony, 14 and a half sacks this past season, a berth in the college football playoff, and he was a big reason why. He could do so much for you. He's such a high-effort player, absolutely loves the game of football. We have a podcast called Hutch, which we did with him, where we broke down where he's come from, his family background, everything, and it makes sense why teams absolutely love him. But Trayvon Walker, not a lot of production, a lot of talent, though. You saw that when you pop on the film at Georgia, what this guy can do athletically. 6'5", 272 pounds, ran a 4.52, jumped 36 inches in the vert, sub-7 three-cone. That tells you he's got the size, he's got the strength, he's got the speed, he's got the explosiveness, the agility, everything you would want from an edge rusher. So really, he has all of that. He just didn't have the production. No, the sacks, the tackles for loss, all that kinds of stuff. So it really just comes down to, which do they want to go with? More of a sure thing of an Aiden Hutchinson? Do they want to go for the home run hit with Trayvon Walker and hope that he is a special, special player?
Let's go back a couple of months with Walker. And sometimes the mock drafts 3, 4, 5 months out get distorted. But, I mean, where was he then, and what has caused and created this move up the board?
Yeah, I mean, if you go back to January, he was barely even in first-round mocks. There was a lot of times where even if he was in the back end of the first round, the little blurb underneath it would say, you know, this is a player that you take a swing at the bat at. You see what could finally be for him. Maybe the best is yet ahead of him in the NFL. And honestly, Paul, it was that combine performance. It's just never been done before. You go back and you say, okay, the closest thing we might have is a Danielle Hunter when he was coming out of LSU. But Trayvon Walker had similar athletic profile with 20 more pounds on him. Danielle Hunter was 6'5", 252 pounds. Trayvon Walker was 272 pounds. It's just the arm length, the overall size, the explosiveness. We've never seen anything like what he put out at the combine. And I think that just gets GM's imaginations to run wild, specifically in Jacksonville. Trent Baalke is that guy who, time and time again, when he was with the San Francisco 49ers, he took chances on athletic guys. Another SEC guy, Alden Smith, somebody who he took a chance on early over some more sure thing players, if you will, from that draft class. And so I really do believe that after that combine performance, that's when teams really started to have this guy climb up a lot of their big boards and their rankings.
After the number one position, in either or there, what's likely to happen in the first few picks?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's going to be heavily involved with the trenches. You've got three offensive tackles. You've got Iggy Ekwonu from NC State. You've got Evan Neal from Alabama. And you've got Charles Cross from Mississippi State. All three guys have a little bit different of a flavor. Ekwonu, much more of that bigger, stronger, run-blocking offensive tackle who can really impose some fear on edge rushers on the other side. Evan Neal, I feel like, is a great blend of everything. He's got size. He's got speed. He can pass block. He can run block. He might not have that overall imposing ability in the run like Ekwonu does, or he might not have as fast of feet or look as finesse as a Charles Cross does in the passing game, but he's got all-around game. And then, like I said there, Charles Cross, he's so fantastic. You're coming for that Mike Leach system. He's got so many reps under his belt at pass protection that teams know that that's where the league's going. You need great pass blockers at offensive tackle. You're passing a lot more than you're running it these days, at least most teams are. So you figure those three guys are going to be in the mix. I already mentioned Hutchinson, Trayvon Walker, Kayvon Thibodeau from Oregon, the pass rusher as well, is going to be right there in the mix. And there's two corners, Derek Stingley Jr. from LSU, which I know your listeners are very familiar with, and then Sauce Gardner, the cornerback from Cincinnati. I think all of those guys are in the mix for what's going to round out that top five this year.
Under a week, the drama continues. Thanks so much, Trevor. Appreciate it very, very much. We're heading to the break right now. More of your phone calls coming up around the corner at 855-242-7285.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Back here with Randall in Arkansas. What's up, Randall?
Hello, Paul. Yesterday's show was great, Paul. It went real good. Ryan did a good job. He sat in your seat, tried to fill your shoes the best he could do, and he really did do a good job. Don't pay attention to Jim. He just wasn't involved, and since he wasn't involved, he doesn't like it. But
well,
it was good,
listen,
Paul.
I trust the people that, with whom I work, and not that I really I'm first of all, the guy's nice enough to sit in while I went out of town, but I heard great things about it, so I'm not too concerned about what the peanut gallery is saying.
Nah, Jim sucks. He's always sucked. He always will, John. Don. Paul, he just sucks. That's all. Have a good day.
Thank you very much. Augie is up next in New Orleans. Hello, Augie.
Hey, Paul. Do you take checks? Do you prefer Venmo, PayPal, Visa? How should I handle this?
Crypto.
Crypto. I don't do crypto.
Okay.
You know, Larry David said, it's not going to work, so I don't do crypto. So how do I pay
you?
I don't know. He missed on the world being flat, so maybe he's wrong on crypto. But yeah. How do I take care of this debt I owe you?
What do you owe me?
Oh, my God, Paul. You'd never make it as a businessman. You know,
no,
I got fined, right? You fined me 30 cents.
Oh, okay. I tell you what, Augie, we are going to wipe it off the board because of inflation. And
Well, I think you might need to reconsider that because I think I'm going to get fined for a lot more after this.
Okay.
But my apologies to Roman Harper. I thought Roman Harper and I throw Jordan Rogers in there and Howdy Doody and a bunch of the other guys as the most boring people. But I'm going to agree with Jim on this one. Jim was sapient as can be. He was right on. Ryan Magoo, as you called him. You did call him Ryan Magoo before the first session ended. That was terrible, and I disagree with the guy from Arkansas. I thought he was terrible. And that Marty and McGee, there's a reason ESPN has him on at 7 in the morning, Paul. I don't think anybody would watch him later in the day. So you can always say, well, everybody's sleeping at 7, but I did not find that interesting. But, hey, he's your buddy. I know you like him, and I'm not dissing him as a person. It was just the show did not have the energy. And this may be an unholy alliance, but I'm with Jim on this one. He was on fire. He was sapient. He was lucid. He was right on point. This may be the only time I agree with him, but I'm right on with Jim on this one. Anyway, Paul, have a great weekend. Just the peanut gallery chiming in. That's all.
Thanks, Augie. Appreciate it. And by the way, everyone's entitled to express their thoughts on anything, but this is not really a referendum on Ryan. We've moved on. We're appreciative. It was something that I don't normally do, but I was in fact, I was with Laura Rutledge last night at an event in Alabama. That's where I was, and we had a great time with a lot of sports fans. And if I sound like I stayed up too late, there's a reason for that. John is up next. Hello, John.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today? I hope you're doing well.
We
missed
are, we
you
are.
Yesterday,
Thank
but
you.
But Magoo did a great job, I thought, and I'll move on for that saying that. But what about the two jackasses that they call themselves Tony Cornhole or Tony whatever he is? I'd put your numbers up against those two crazy people. Of course, we all know they came above the Mason-Dixon line, so they wouldn't know good football if they saw it. As far as the I got a question for you. In that new USFL,
yes,
can people be drafted off of that roster?
No. I mean, right now the USFL is its own entity. So once you're on a team, I don't know what happens after the season. I suspect that if somebody catches the NFL eyes, they would be able to sign a contract. I don't know that for a fact, but I'm guessing that has normally been the case.
Well, I tell you one thing. Those young men played their butts off. I mean, there was a lot of serious hit.
Yeah, I watched the Birmingham game Saturday night, and I thought it was entertaining. Now, at some point, I mean, professional football is good. It's not the NFL, but then again,
no,
you have NFL caliber players playing. There's a reason. I mean, people come and go at all times, and I mean, there are a lot of really good players who are not in the NFL right now.
Well, one other point, and then I'll let you go. The NFL officiating crew needs to take heed. I think the longest break in the action was one penalty that was not, and it took 13 seconds before they was playing football.
You know, that's interesting.
Thank you, Bob.
John. I'm glad. Time of a game is so important. I was reading an article coming back tonight this morning about the Oklahoma women's softball team. It's defending national champ, have two of the best pitchers in the country, have four of the best players. And it gave the analysis that the ratings for women's softball, college women's softball, is higher, significantly higher than men's college baseball. And I know that men's baseball in the SEC is incredible, but what was the reason given? It said it was snappier, it was faster. Why is it faster? It's shorter. And I wonder if the – I mean, I know you're trying to simulate Major League Baseball, but do we really need 9 innings in a game? You're a baseball purist. I mean, can we live with 7 innings?
Sure.
I can. I just think these games go on too long. And – yeah, there's, I mean, I've watched women's game. I mean, you know, they're it's a 2-hour game. Baseball can be 3. I mean, there was a time back when one of our callers played Major League Baseball that, you know, you could get a 2.5-hour game. That was not unusual. Now these games go 3, 4, 4.5, depending on. I mean, television just milks it to death, and I think. I think I'm getting to college football here. They've got to do something about those games. And I've talked to commissioners about that, and they try. They say, well, we're speeding it up. No, you're not. It drags on. And I realize television's partly to blame. I'm aware of the money that television pays to all these leagues and everyone else. But you have to figure out a way to speed these games up. And I think it starts with the officiating. The NFL is a much better watch than college football. Why? Because they don't stop the clock. They don't stop the clock every 2 seconds. It just keeps moving and moving. The games, and there's always that intensity level. Let's continue with more phone calls here. And Lee is up next in Seattle.
Hey, Paul. I guess Jim didn't learn one of the golden lessons from his mom. You know, if you can't say something nice, don't say it at all. I was re-listening to his conversation with the Archbishop, which I found disturbing in the first place and more disturbing in the second. And I hear him then today, and, you know, he he was trying to justify, or I don't know, explain that if he has a personal relationship, you know, that he's kind of automatically in. And I would like to think that there's a lot more to, you know, getting in than just that, like kindness and, you know, being a good person. And Jim, I think it's just appalling that he really is the most hateful man. And everything that Archbishop said, you know, what God or Jesus Christ or whatever was all about love and love your, you know, love your human man or whatever. That goes completely over Jim's head. And I'm quite disturbed that that he is the man he is and proclaims to be a man of faith. And he's got so much hate and disdain and ugliness in him. And I just wanted to say that. So thank you.
Skywalker is up next.
Hey, Dr. Paul, I have often found myself pondering over the past 40 years if your show would be able to continue after you kicked the bucket. Well, after listening to McGee yesterday, I am happily satisfied that the show will go on. I nominate McGee, but you're going to have to keep your name for marketing, so you'll have to change it to the Ron Feinbaum Show. War Down Eagle, Dr.
So
Paul.
So you're saying, Skywalker, if I just suddenly died today, which, you know what? I'm not far from it at the moment. I'm good with whatever they want to do. This is not this is not television royalty here. This is just a talk show. So I don't think there's anything ordained that should I die today that it has to go to one of my heirs. who is first in line to the Feinbaum throne? Do we know that?
God, who would be?
Sounds like it could be McGee.
It looks like he's close.
Yeah. As long as he brings his dad.
Maybe Tony Barnhart.
Tony Barnhart would be high on my list.
Yeah.
He's royalty.
Yeah.
What we'll do now is take a break. More of your phone calls right after this.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. It is good to have all of you here, and let's check in with Steve in Alabama. Hello, Steve.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today?
We are doing great. Thank you.
I'm sitting here dealing with my dog. I took his manhood from him yesterday, he's kind of pissed off at me right now.
Does he understand the circumstances?
I'm sorry?
Do you think he completely understands it? Have you explained what happened?
Well, you know what? I think he does, because he keeps turning his head on me. So, like, he's literally mad. So I would be too, I guess. So. But
traumatic time for a dog.
I know. He's my buddy. On the beginning of the show today, you mentioned some new rules, and man, that one about the interior lineman blocking below the waist?
Right.
Is legal
in the tackle box.
Well, still, is that not just going to bring more knee issues back? I mean, I know we still get them, but my opinion, not as bad as it was several years ago, and especially for the linemen. And now I think that's just the wrong move. I feel like they're going backwards, like everything else in this country these days. But what's your opinion on?
Yeah, I need somebody to explain it a little better before I get. I mean, I just heard about it as we were coming on the air, so I'm going to see if we can get a little more clarification.
Okay. Well, hey, I agree. I know it's not, you're not doing a poll, but I thought Ryan did a good job yesterday, even though I like Marty a little better, which I've partied with him a little bit back in the several years ago. So, but they country boys, you know, so that's what my opinion, that's what the SEC is, country.
You bet.
And hard hitting. You know, so anyway, I hope you have a great weekend.
Thank you very much.
And have a good one.
Country Thank boys you. And twang. What do you think?
Yeah.
We're just a bunch of, what are we going to do when Texas gets in the SEC? Because, I mean, those are country boys, and those are not country boys in Austin. Those are sophisticated, wine drinking.
We don't need that.
Do we? We don't need that?
We don't need that.
We just need some country boys.
Country boys. Corpse sniffers.
They are. I think they aren't they tea sniffers? What do they call it?
Tea sippers.
Dan is in Louisiana. Hello, Dan.
How you doing, Paul?
Very
good
well.
To talk to you.
Thank you.
I was just calling. I was listening to your show, and you were talking about the length of the sports, the college sports,
yes.
Baseball, football comes to my mind. And that, I agree. I mean, I sit here. I'm a big college football and baseball fan, but I live in a small town. We have a small college, and it just it's pitiful. And they think they're speeding the game up, in my opinion. And I'm not really talking about the top 20 teams in the country, but in baseball, college, they play 4 to 5 games a week. They don't have the pitching staff
No.
to play that many innings. And if they would play 7 innings, you know, the game would be a whole lot faster. It would be more entertaining. You'd have better pitching. And that's then you throw in the replays. I went to a game the other day, and they had 2 replays the first inning on a double play that ended the inning. And it was a close call, and they didn't overturn it. And then one, the kid got hit, and the other coach wanted to find out, did he really get hit or not? So they held the game up for 10 minutes, which meant nothing in the first inning. And, you know, and I agree, girls softball moves. I go to some of those games, and you're home within an hour and a half.
No, it's I don't know. I mean, I've watched it for a long time, but women's softball has – I mean, I wouldn't say – I mean, I was just simply citing a television number. I wasn't citing attendance. It was only one article, but it is a – it's a faster game. And I just think – I mean, we're done with basketball now, but basketball is another sport that is driving me insane with the officials' review. I mean, I want you to get it right, but there ought just to be a set time in the game you can review it, and otherwise just roll the dice.
Right, I agree. I mean, and football has ruined themselves, not so much the major college, you know, the LSUs, the Alabamas, the Texas, where you have the bands and all, but the smaller colleges, just the number of the media timeouts, okay, you got to pay for it. I understand that. But then you throw that in when a guy gets hurt and he lays out there for 5 minutes, and he maybe should, but then he gets up and runs off the field. Then you have a review. I mean, and the game, you can't bring small kids to school, to the game anymore.
No.
Because it takes 4 hours. And that's not counting driving to the game and driving home.
Oh, no. Dan, well said. Thanks for the call. We're up against a break. We have a lot to do here. We talked about the NFL draft. We'll go to Oxford in a few minutes to get ready for the Ole Miss spring game. More of your phone calls right after this.